Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man named Zacchaeus lived there, and he was the chief of the tax collectors and was very rich. Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but he was a short man. He could not see Jesus because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree. He wanted to see Jesus and who he was, who was coming that way. Jesus reached the spot where Zacchaeus was. He looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to whisper among themselves. They said, "Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up. He said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of what I own to those who are poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back. I will pay it back four times the amount I took." Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to your house. You are a member of Abraham's family line. The Son of Man came to look for and save the lost." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Oh, thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of joy and humility, you come to us not in power but in peace. As we wave our branches and lift our voices, prepare our hearts to follow you, not only in celebration, but on the road that leads to the cross. And Lord, let the meditation of all our hearts and the words of my mouth be a glory to you. Bring all glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You have just heard Luke's account of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we rewound a bit and just heard this story from Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Before Jesus goes into Jerusalem, before the parade and before the shouting, Jesus stops in Jericho. And there he meets Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is not the kind of person that people admire. He's wealthy and he's powerful and he's made his living by taking advantage of others. He's the kind of person people avoid, the kind of person that people talk about. And yet Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. So he climbs a sycamore tree and Jesus stops and looks up and says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today." Before Jesus ever enters Jerusalem publicly, he enters someone's life personally. Before the crowds shout his name and he calls someone by their name. And Zacchaeus is changed, not because Jesus demanded it, not because he shamed him, but because Jesus saw him. He stayed with him. He chose him. And Zacchaeus responds, "I will give half of what I own to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone, I'll pay them back four times over." This is what real repair looks like. It's not just about feeling bad. It's not just about saying you're sorry. It's about transformation. It's about restoration, a life turned in a new direction. And then Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house." And then Jesus keeps walking from Jericho to Jerusalem. He sends his disciples on a peculiar errand to fetch the colt of a donkey, one that's never been ridden. Does anybody know anything about colts that have never been ridden? They're wild and they're unpredictable and they do not want you to sit on them. People don't ride a colt. Jesus makes decisions with Old Testament scripture in mind. Jesus riding this colt fulfills the prophecy from Zechariah 9:9, which says, "Your king comes to you, humble and riding on a donkey." And so Jesus enters Jerusalem, not on a war horse, not with power, but in humility. Meanwhile, the disciples sing the words of Psalm 118, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." In Luke's gospel, they lay down their cloaks on the road, and there are no palm branches, and they don't cry, "Hosanna." Jesus processed into Jerusalem. His disciples declared that peace came from him, from God, and not from Rome. Pax Romana. Rome says peace through force. Jesus says peace through justice. This can't be stopped any more than the shouts of praise. If the people didn't praise him, all of creation would. Even the rocks would cry out. Because if there is no justice, then there is no peace. At the same time, on the other side of the city, Roman authorities also processed in. They came to Jerusalem to oversee the Passover festival, to keep the peace. With soldiers, and with power, and with control. But Jesus had another kind of peace in mind. Peace that has nothing to do with Rome. A peace that has been missing from the earth, and so Jesus weeps. He weeps, and then he proceeds to go into the temple and disturb the peace. He throws over tables, and he pulls out a whip and he drives all the animals and the money changers out of the temple. Jesus is not content with peace for peace's sake. Jesus has come to bring peace with justice. Jesus has come to destroy the temple so that it can be rebuilt in 3 days. He drives out the money changers because over the last 3 years, he's been teaching people that the way to the Father is through the Son, not through our sacrifices, but through his impending sacrifice. They don't need to come to the temple and make sacrifices. They only need to follow him. This week is all about holy tension. The tension in the joy of Palm Sunday is that we know what happens on Friday. And so does Jesus. Joy and sorrow, hope and suffering, celebration and crucifixion. The last time Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey, he was in his mother's womb, coming to Bethlehem for the census. Lowly then and lowly now, he entered into the world to be present in the holy tension. He entered into the world to be present in this moment where if there is no justice, then there is no peace. Jesus knows joy and anger can be contained in the same body. Jesus still smells the perfume that was lovingly poured onto his feet. He still feels the joy of Mary's adoration and gratitude. Shouts of joy and anticipation fill the air as Jesus comes into Jerusalem, but he knows that the crowd will turn on him. Jesus knows where he is headed. The same voices crying out, "Blessed is the King," will soon cry out, "Crucify him." They call him the King because he comes in the name of the Lord. He was born the Prince of Peace, but they will mock him and call him the King of the Jews and lay a crown of thorns on his head. Luke's Palm Sunday account echoes Luke's version of the Christmas story. When Jesus was born, the gospel writer tells us that the angels appear singing peace on earth. Now, as Jesus rides his colt towards Jerusalem, the people look to the sky and sing peace in heaven. As the church gathers this day, we are caught in the crossfire of blessings. For Luke, this is an announcement of what God makes possible in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is peace. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus is the disruptor of peace, because if there is no justice, then there is no peace. Jesus interrupts the status quo to make way for something better, something more holy, something that gives glory to God, because all people are given a chance to have access to God's kingdom. Even people like Zacchaeus. The same Jesus who enters into Jerusalem is the same Jesus who entered into Zacchaeus's home, despite what people thought or what people said. The one who challenges empires also changes lives, because the work of repair is not just out there, it's in here. Zacchaeus didn't just shout from the crowd, he was changed. We continue to sit in this holy tension because we know that God's justice is complete through Christ's resurrection. But we also know that the world is still broken. We experience God's peace when, in our hardest moments, God's love breaks through because a neighbor picks up the phone, or someone gives us a hand, or a card comes in the mail, or a child blesses us with their love. God's love dwells with us in the holy tension of life. So the question for us today is not just, will we praise Jesus? We already did that. We will keep doing that. We waved the branches and we sang the songs. The question is, will we let Jesus come to us? Where is the place in your life where Jesus is stopping and looking up and calling your name? Where is repair needed? Because this is where the story is headed, not just to a parade, but to a table and to a cross. To a moment where Jesus will say, "It is finished." The work of repair for the world, for the church, for our community, for our relationships, and yes, even for you.